All right, we're starting here on the top of Samach Gimel and Aleph. We're going to again continue the sugya with the birds. Let's just reiterate what Rav Shimon Shofar Hirsch says.
And the Rabbeinu Yerucham.
That there are obviously dangers in translating some of these birds because they have big nafkaminot in terms of what is tamei, what is tahor. We'll use the translations only to elucidate, make it easier to understand the Gemara, but not the Inyan Halacha. So just put it in that direction. So I'm Rav Yehuda. Shekitna. So Shekitna is known as the flamingo, is the term here. Arike shake has very long legs. Visumke, and its body is reddish or pink, which would match up with the flamingo. Sharyo, that is mutar. That's a bird that's going to be mutar. Visimanech, and the siman is murzima. Murzima is another bird that was common to them that they knew was kasher, that had similar traits. Gutze, on the other hand, if it's short, visumke, and it has a red body, asire, that's problematic. The simanech, the way to remember that is nanus pasul. When it comes to the Kohanim, one of the mumim is a midget, is pasul, is one of the mumim by the Kohanim. So that's pasul. So to over here, the shorter bird is problematic. Now, arika shake, if it has long legs, viroke, and it's green or yellowish, then it's a sire. Simanech, something that we had earlier in the Gemara, yirokim psulim, that if certain of the internal organs that are supposed to be red turn green, then they are problematic. So the same thing here. The arok is problematic. You have these three different permutations of the flamingo, types of flamingos. The one that is kasher is the one with the long legs and the reddish pinkish body. The rest of them are considered to be problematic and they have a siman for each one of these three types of flamingos. Samar of Yehuda, shalach. So the shalach is found in the psukim. It's one of the birds that are tamei, that are found in the psukim. Ze hashole dagim min hayam, something that scoops up fish from the sea. The translation of that is a cormorant. That's the English translation of the bird. It's interesting just to note, and I have here, I'll send this out to you, that when you look at the Targum Unculus for the shalach, he calls it the shali nuna. Nuna in Aramaic is a fish, and shale is to take. So it's the one who grabs the fish out of the sea, and that's a shole dagim min hayam. Duchipat, again, another one of the birds that's mentioned in the Torah as being tamei. What is it? We had it this week's parsha. Hey, we had all of these birds were illuminated here. Duchipat, shehodo kafut. Now, hodo, as Rashi says, is karbalato. It's its crest or its crown. Now, kafut can be one of two meanings. It can either be kafut from the word kaful, means a double crest or a double crown. Or the way Rashi translates it is shekifula l'tocharosh. It's folded down. That the crest is folded into the head. Vuta shem v'hu of gadol ketanagol. It's a large bird like a chicken. V'korin lo po'on shalbayo. Rashi calls it the po'on shalbayo. Just a note over here, the goat Marilando says that there's another bird called the po'on, which without any shem levi, without any descriptive term associated with it, is a kosher bird. But this is the po'on shalbayo, which is problematic. Again, the translations that I saw were either a hoopoe or a wood grouse. A hoopoe or a wood grouse. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a similar braita, duchifat, shodo kafut, vizeu shevi shamir the beta migdash. And this bird is the one that brought the shamir to the beta migdash. It's a story in Gitin, which Rashi notes this story over here as well. Story in Gitin that they're searching for the shamir, and they say that the shamir is kept by this person and this person, and then finally they say it's kept by this bird. And who the bird that keeps it is Nagar Tura, the one that, the carpenter of the mountains, but the one who quarries the mountains, that's how we translate it, Behu Tarnagola Bara. It's the wild chicken over here, wild peacock is the translation. It's a wild peacock, and that takes this shamir, they used to drop it into the mountains to dig holes, and then he used to plant seeds in there in order that trees would grow and create Yishul out of areas that were desolate beforehand. So that's blend the shamir. If you look again in the Torah, when it talks about the duchifat, the Targum translated is as Nagar Tura. Nagar Tura means this one that digs holes in the mountains, quarries in the mountains, but it's because it has the shamir. That's how he translates it, the duchifat. And then on that, Rabbi Yochanan, Yihavachazi Shalach, when he saw the Shalach, which we just saw before, was Zesholed Dagim in Ayam, Amar Mishpetecha Tom Rabbah, and I'll translate in a second. Ki abe chazi nemala. When you saw an ant, amar tzidkatecha kare, that your tzidkut is like a great mountain when he saw the ant. So Rashi gives two interpretations of that. The first one being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachem even on the smallest bria, meaning that the nemala, an ant, which is a very small bria, nevertheless, he feeds it like the biggest of briot. And that's what he means, that your tzedek is like a mountain of God. That you take care of the nemala, which is the smallest vitamin, you feed it as well. And then mishpatechotom rabba means that your mishpat, that you bring your nekama even to the yam, to the depths of the yam, meaning that you have the shalach who goes and grabs out the fish who don't behave, or whoever needs some mishpat, you have a way to get at them, and you have the shalach that goes and digs them out. That's the first way Rashi interprets it. It says that lashon mori. That's my Rebbe's explanation. Lishna achrina. That its mizonot are done without any exertion. And then whenever you have an altercation with your danot at home rabba, you go in shalach. The shalach has to go to the depths to get his food. So as opposed to the ant, which its food comes easy, the shalach has to go to the depths of the yam to get his food. The same way, Hashem takes care of those that are good, He gives them tzedek, and takes care of them, makes it easy for them. And those that need judgment or need to be taken care of, He goes to the farthest ends to get them. And so that's the two possibilities of the explanations of this statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Amar Meimar, Lakne Ubatne Sharyan. These two birds are permissible, Lakne being pelican, Batne being the gannet. They are Sharyan, the Shaknai, and the Botnai, which is the bustard and the black gannet, mekom shenagu lechol ochrin, in a place where they're noeg to eat it, fine. Mekom shenagu shelo lechol, place where they don't eat it, ein ochrin. So when it says, atu b'minhoga talya milta, since when does eating a bird have to do with minhog? Either it's kasher, it's not kasher. It's an objective issue. It's not an issue where you have to make some determination about it, whether it's a minhog, not a minhog. So when it says, in, it is by minhog, v'lo kasher, this is the end. V'haba atu dishkichi peres vozniya. This is in a town where there is the Peres and Oznia. Now what was unique about the Peres and Oznia was that they had only one Siman Tahara. They only had one Siman Tahara. That was the unique amount of the birds of the 24 birds, which we'll get to later today. The 24 birds that are enumerated in the Torah, that are Tzmeim, those that are of these two, the Peres and Oznia, only had one Siman Tahara. Habacha Deloshkechi Peres and Oznia. This is the city where they're not found. Now the way Rashi explains it, Rashi has a very narrow understanding. When he says, in the place where they have the Peres and Oznia is found, then it's a surim. Daha nami b'chad simanatu. These two birds, the Shaknai and the Botnai, this bustard and the black gannet, also are only torim with one siman. So the problem is, if you had the Peres and Oznia there, and these birds, you're going to mix them up. Rashi says that they are, damani b'chad simanatu b'shema miminan heim. And maybe they are of the same species. Maybe they're a derivative of the species of the Peres and Oznia. Therefore, we don't eat them because the Peres and Oznia is found there. So they seem to be a subcategory, a subspecies of Peres and Oznia, and that's why Rashi says you don't eat them. Tosafot says that's not the case. It's definitely not the case. He says, I don't understand what Rashi's saying. He says, then any place it should be problematic. If there are subspecies of Peres and Oznia, it should be irrelevant whether the Peres and Oznia is found there. They should be a surim all the time. So Tosafot says, no, what does it mean that they're like the Peres and Oznia? It means that they are nitarim v'siman echad. And since they are similar, umichalfa behem, they get mixed up. They're not a subspecies of the Peres and Oznia. They're nothing to do with the Peres and Oznia. But since they have one siman tara, and somehow they look or are similar to the Peres and Oznia, in a place where the Peres and Oznia are found, we don't want people getting mixed up between the birds. So we say, don't eat them in that place. In a place where there is no Peres and Oznia, there's nothing to be choshesh for, and therefore you can eat them in that area. Right, so it seems to be that at this point in time, the Gemara says that if we had a Mesorah, the Mesorah was all-encompassing, everybody had it. I mean, there was some objective Mesorah that they had, that we didn't break down into cities or places so far. That's at least the Gemara's assumption, I think all the way through today's daf, that breakdown between different places or locations where they had Mesorah, didn't have Mesorah, that has yet to happen. Everybody who eats the same birds at this point in time. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Ko'ai, V'Koka'ai, Asire. When it comes to the Ko'ai and the Koka'ai, they are problematic. Koka'ato, Shario. On the other hand, the Koka'ato is fine. B'marovo Malku Oloi, on the Koka'ato in Eretz Yisrael, they give Malku for it, B'karilo Tachvato. And they call that the Tachvato. Now, Ko'ai V'Koka'ai, if you look at the translation, at least what Rashi suggests over here is that the ko'ai is what we call the large screech owl, and the koko'ai is the small screech owl, and then the koko'ato is an owl, just a plain owl. Tanu Rabbanan, tinshamet, the question about tinshamet, which is found in the list of birds that are problematic in the Torah, tinshamet is either a bat or an owl. We're going to see this in a second. So they call this, the tinshamet is bavat sheba ofot. It's the bavat of the ofot. Now if you look in Rashi, when he says bavat sheba ofot, of hatzu'ik balaylo, a bird that calls out at night, tzu'ita balas. So again, that sounds like an owl. If it's the, you know, something that screams out at now. But we'll see in a second that Rashi seems to, when you get down to Abaye, who gives a different translation, Rashi seems to indicate to us that it's a different species. So Ataumer bavot shebalfot, oenola bavot she bishratzim. The tinshamet is found in a list, both of the birds that are tameim, as well as the shratzim. In the list in Vayikra, it has the seven in Shratzim. They are the Choled, Achbar, Tzav, Anaka, Koach, Halta'a, Chomet, and Tinshamet. So there's a Tinshamet that's found in the Shratzim, but also amongst the birds. There's a Tinshamet, a Ka'at, Varacham. It's one of the birds listed there. So now over here, when I say the Tinshamet in the list of the birds, which one am I referring to? So Marit, Seiv Alameit, Miyud Gimel Midot, Shatoran, Nidreshavim, from the 13 Midot that we say every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Dobar Alameit, Minyano. It's something that's learned out of its context. The first tinshamet is found amongst the lists of the fowl, the birds. Afgan bofot. So also over here, the tinshamet is going to be defined as a bird. So tanya nami gabe shratzim. We have a similar type of idea by the shratzim. Gyagavna, tinshamet, bavat shibit shratzim. It's called the bavat of the shratzim. Taumer bavat shibit shratzim, oinola bavat shibofot. How do I know it's him at the shirts? Maybe it's the oaf. Amar, tzeul made me gimel midocha during the sheshabem. Tavar made me no. Again, you learn of something in its context. But me'aka du midaber, the second tinshamet that's written, it's talking about shratzim in that context. Avkan bishratzim. It's talking about the shratzim. Amar Abaye, bavat sheba ofot. This bavat of the ofot is the kipuf. Rashi says about the kipuf, tzit, veli nira shekorim kalba shorich shedome letalfo shibetzratzim. It's like the talfo by the shratzim, which would be a bat, according to Rashi's translation. So now, if you will use Abaye's understanding of bavat shebofot, that would be a bat, rather than the understanding that we had before, bavat shebofot, which we suggested was the tinshamet, that would sound more like an owl, something that screams or calls out at night. Bavat shebishratzim, on the other hand, the bavat shratzim is a korpedai. Korpedai is a mole. So that's something else that has very poor eyesight and moves around at night. That's a comparison of the talfa, that she calls it the talfa. There are two different types of talfa. There's talfa shebitzratzim and the talfa by the ofot. So the talfa of the shratzim is this mole, and the talfa shebofot is the bat. And that's what Rashi defines as the kipuf of it. First description of the tinshamet, bavat shebofot, being an owl, something that screeches or calls out at night, sounds more like an owl than a bat, even though the bats make noise as well. I think he was referencing, over there it seems to be, at least according to Maimar, it's referencing an owl. Over here, according to Abaye, it seems to be referencing, according to Rashi, at least, that this is talking about a bat. So just with regard to the bavat, there are different spellings over here. You can see on the side, and Mishpah brings down, Bayakudita bavat, Baruchita bavat, Bashal Gariz bavat, Perish Maus. So either way, the bavat, or ba'ut, or bat, would be also be a play in the word bat, like Rashi was describing. Also ma'us, something that's disgusting, would also qualify as a bat. Whereas if you turn, then it's bavat, or something to do with eyesight, or the eyes, then it more likely leans towards the owl interpretation than the bat interpretation. The other interpretation of bavat shebishratzim is a salamander, which is the other two, the possibility of a mole or a salamander, because again, both of them have poor eyesight, and they have similar eyes to that of the owl or the bat, and therefore they are compared in the shratzim to those of the ofot. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Now Tosfot over here, interestingly enough, brings down that by the kipuf, shlosha minei kipufim. There are three types of kipuf. There's ba'ot ba'ofot. There's a kipuf of the ofot, which is the tinshamet. Ve'ol yesh kos v'yanshuf. Kos v'yanshuf are two of the birds that are mentioned in the Torah as being problematic. And there, mitargaminon, the targamonkulus on them is karya v'kipufa. Kipufa. And that's again why this idea that the kipuf would be an owl, because the yanshuf that we're mentioning here, that are the two birds that are being mentioned here, the kos and the anshuf, are usually associated with owls, and therefore they translate them as a kifuf.
What's the modern word? Owl?
Yanshuf. I think it is yanshuf, is the modern word. So there, they're associated with owls, and the translation, the Aramaic for that is kipufa. So that's probably how it came to be that they said that tinshamit is also an owl, because of this idea that Abai calls it a kipuf. But Rashi favors that it's a bat on that side. Va'od, and there's one more, yesh kipuf acher shu chaya. There's also a kipuf, which is an animal. And Tosa says, ganamin in perek roeh, kol minei chayot yafin lechalom chutz min apil, va'kof, va'kipuf. Besides it, and there, kipuf over there is probably some derivative of the ape or monkey family. It's called a kipuf in the chaya. So now you have, according to Tosafot, you have this kipuf, you have three different types of kipuf. There's a kipuf in the birds, which is the tinshamet. You have a kipufa by the kos and the yanshuf, which is the owl, which would distinguish between them. If you look in the Targum Onkelos and the Torah on the yanshuf, he calls it a kipufa. But Tosafot distinguishes between that kipufa and the kipuf that we're speaking here, and that would lend credence to what Rashi is suggesting over here, that it's a bat and not an owl that he's speaking about. And then you have the kipuf, which is this monkey or ape, a derivative that's in the chayot that Tosafot mentions. So that would distinguish between the different types of kipuf and why maybe the tinshamet is not classified as an owl versus the anshuf, which we know is an owl. So here it says, tinshamet is ba'ot sheba'ofot shatsu ek balayla tsu ita balaz, and ba'ot sheba'of is kipuf tzit. And it says, the enehem hochot lifnehem gishel adam, they have eyes in front of them like humans, which is the characteristic of the owl. And that's why, before I said to you, the first time Rashi translates it in a Maimar, it sounds like an owl. Whereas by the translation by the Abayis, it sounds like it's a bat, according to Rashi. Okay, now I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ka'at, zu'a kok. The ka'at is the kok or the kik, which is a sea crow. Racham is zu shrakrak. So racham is actually one of the items mentioned in the Torah. In Vayikra, it's called a racham. In Dvarim, in Re'eh, which we read this week, was called Rachama. Over here, we're translating that as a shrakrak. Now, shrakrak is a vulture, or vulture-like bird. Now, it's interesting that the Targum, if you look at the Targum of a racham or rachama, it is virakrika. Virakrika. But if you look at the Targum Yonatan, he actually says that it's a shrakrak. Shrakraka. And the question of why it's called the shrakrak or the shrakrakra is that it's an amanam pia, which is that it's the sound that the bird makes. It's a shrak, it means a whistling or some sort of sound that is similar to this shrakrak, that type of sound that is made by the bird. Alright, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Nikra Shmo Racham. So why is it called a racham if it's really a shrakrak? Kei mishba rachim, ba racham, ba'u rachamim le'olam. When the racham came, then rachamim came to olam, mercy came to olam. It's interesting, Rashi translates rachamim, matar, rain. Rain came to the world when the shrakrak was there. Amra bibi barabai behu diyotiv amide. When is this, what's this bird? The bird that is kosher is the one that sits on something, has to be sitting on something, not the ground, barabai shrakrak. And it makes that noise. Mitzavtseif nishimako omer shrakrak, shrakrak. That's the sound or the noise that it makes. Vigmire, and we have a mesora. Diyotiv ara, if it comes and lands on the ground, Bisarik, and then whistles and makes that noise, Ata Mashiach. That's the time that the Mashiach is coming. Shnemar, the Pasuk in Zechariah, Eshrika lahem ve'akabzeim. I will whistle for them, you know, I will call to them, and I will gather them in. They're playing on the Eshrika, meaning that the shrakrak of this animal, the Masore, is that if it does it on the ground, then the Mashiach is coming. Samalei Ravada Barsimi Lamar Barav Idai, Vahu Diyoti Bei Kravo. We saw one of these birds land in a plowed field, Vishrak, and it was whistling. Ve'ata galau, afsakei lemolchei, and some sort of large rock, meteor, boulder came flying down and knocked out its head. Samalei, you know why? Ha'ubaida, he was a clown. He was staying on making, he was taking the signal that Mashiach was coming and it wasn't the right time. So since he was a liar or a clown, they took care of him quickly, and that's why this boulder, meteor, whatever came down and crushed the bird, because he was giving that siman that should have been the siman for Mashiach, and the time had yet to come for Mashiach. Taravanan, Orev, the raven, Ze Orev, that's the raven. Now, in the Pasuk, it says not just the Orev, but it says Et Kol Orev, the hay is not there in the Pasuk, Et Kol Orev, Lariv, Avi Orev Hanki, that comes to include the Orev of the valley. Limino. Right, so then it says, Limino. Lavi orev abab roshe yonim. bring the orev, or include the raven that goes in front of the yonim, the doves. Amamar, orev ze orev. Orev is an orev. Atu kaman koi. It's as if the Tana is standing there and saying, orev is an orev. What do you mean an orev is an orev? If you have all these different types of orvim, all these different types of ravens, then he has to define what it means by the basic or the stam orev. Ela ema, this is how to read it. Orev, ze orev uchma. The basic orev, the default, or the orev without any shem levai, without any descriptive term, is a black raven. The black raven is the stam orev in the Torah. V'chinu omer, that's what it says in Shir HaShirim, kivutzotav taltalim shechorot ka'orev. His locks of hair are curly, black curls, like that of the raven. Meaning the raven is compared to the black over here. Now, Haim Ki, this the valley, the orev of the valley, the raven of the valley, Chivra. It has a white spots on it. It's called the white spotted raven, or the magpie. And that's where the division of magpie, which is this white spotted raven, and that is the one of the valley, V'chein Omer. It says in the Pasuk by Nigaim, Omareu Amok Min Ha'or, that its appearance is deeper than the skin. And Rashi translates this both in Chumash and mentions it over here, that whenever you have Chama Yitzeltzel, whenever you have something that's light and the shadow next to it or dark next to it, and you're Eit Amuka, the lighter looks deeper than the darker. V'chein Kol Lavan V'Shachor V'Basar, if you have white and black on the arm, Nira Lavan Amok. So therefore, if you have a nega that is white, that nega will look deeper. Amok will look deeper. So too over here, the imki, the orev imki of the valley has white in it. Because white looks deeper. So that's why the orev imki is the white spotted raven or the magpie, because of this idea that it has white in it, which makes it deeper in emek. Kimare chama umukam in etzel. Just like the sun always looks deeper than the etzel.
The Rambam, as opposed to
Rashi and Chumash, brings it down as one of the requirements of the nega. In order for it to be a nega, that is tameh, you have to have this kamer amok min atzel. For orev habab roshe yonim, the orev that leads the pack of doves, amar papa lo tema da'atib resh yonim. Don't say that it leads the yonim. Ela dadami reshe the yona, that its head is similar in appearance to that of the yona. It's not that it leads the yonim, but rather it's similar in appearance to the yonim. Keitarim banan hanetz, ze hanetz. That's the nates, which is the hawk. Now again, how come the Gemara over here doesn't ask, Haita Kaman, where is it? Because over here, the Gemara doesn't give any definition. It says nates, and then the mineyu, it says avid bar chiyiria. So when it comes to include something else, it has nothing like the nates. In the case of the orev, it said, well, ze orev, and then orev ayim ki, orev ze orev, which suggests that there are multiple types of orvim, and only one of them is called the orev stam. So there they want to know, what is this orev stam? Over here, the nates, there's only one animal that's well known as the nates, and there's no other, you know, subcategory that's also called the nates this or nates that, but rather it's a hawk. Liminehu, David bar chiria. My bar chiria. What is that? Amar Abaye, sorinka, or sorinka, which is the falcon. Samar Yehuda, hachasida. Chasida is one of the birds that's mentioned that's problematic in the Torah. Zu daya levana. It's called the daya, the white stork. Daya levana. The lamani kra shma chasida. Why is it called the chasida? Shose chasidut im chavrodah. It takes care of its friends. I mean, it brings food and gives it out to its friends. It provides for others, not just for itself. Now, what's interesting here, the targum of chasida in the Torah is the chorita, or chovarita, which would be white, the white one, which is obviously playing on the Gemara here of daya levana. Yanafa is the next bird. It's next right after the Chasidah in the Torah. Zu daya ragzanit. This is the angry daya, which is known as the heron. Lamni krashma anafa shemina efet im chavrota. So if I was saying mina efet here, you would normally translate ni'uf as being that it's unfaithful. But Rashi translates mina efet because we just said it was a daya ragzanit, the angry daya or the heron. Over here he says, Rashi translates hitanaf bi. Hitanaf bi is what Moshe says to Bnei Israel about the meraglim, that God also got angry at me. And therefore when he says, mina efet im chavrota, it fights, it quarrels with its friends. So the word ni'uf here is not being used as unfaithful, but rather as quarrelsome or angry. And that's the daya ragzanit, which is the heron. Now what's interesting here is that the heron, the anafa, the Targum translates as the ibu. Now if you go, and this is what David was just asking, what does he translate the ayah, or the daya, in the Torah? It's interesting, the Targum unculus, about the Ra'ah calls it a bat knafa, the Ayah he calls it tarfita, and the Ayah he calls it daita. So he has different words for each of them, which is what we'll see in a second. The Gemara is not so simple that he has different words. But the Targum Yonatan, who definitely is following Chazal here, he calls it the daita chivara. He calls the Ra'ah a daita chivara, and the Ayah he calls the uchmita, he calls it the black one, the ibu. And that's the ibu, which is interesting because the translation of Anafa here is the ibu, which is the daya ragzanit. And he says that's the same as this ayah or the ra'ah, which are the daita chivara and uchmata, the white and black daya. So I think it's interesting because he connects the two like the Gemara does over here. Gemara connects these two birds, the Anafa and the Chasida, to be dayot, which is a bird, a daya, and they cause it, he translates it as daita. So the Targum connects them by calling them Ibu. The Ibu that he mentioned is the translation by the Anafa. He also mentions that that's the Daya Chivarta V'Uchmata Dehi Ibu. So he connects between, like Chazal over here, he connects between the Daya and the Torah, as well as the Anafa and the Torah. So now Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chista Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav Chanan Brei Derova Amar Rav. So now we have a new statement that's going to bring us over. Going to end the bird situation here. Esrim va'arba ufot tmeim heim. There are 24 ufot that are tmeim. Again, we'll go back to this in a second. Rashi and Tosfot have different understanding about what this means. So Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista. So Rav Chanan bar Chista was one of the Bali Memra here. He was the last one in this chain of the Bali Memra. He said to his father Rav Chista, Teheche, where do we have 24 birds that are enumerated? Idi va'yikra. If you go to Vayikra, and again, I'll send this out for you, you only have 20. There are 20 birds that are listed in Vayikra. Esrim Habu. There are only 20 birds there. Ida Mishnah Torah. If you go to last week's Parsha, the Parsha Re'eh, Esrim Bechad. There are 21 birds enumerated there. So where are you coming up with 24, Habu? V'chitema Da'a. The one bird, the one difference between, right, the two times is this Da'a. Tichtiva Vayikra, Veloktiva Mishnah Torah. That's written in Vayikra, not mentioned in the Mishnah Torah. Shadi Alayo. Okay, so throw that on top and add it. Akati Esrim Vitareinu Habu. You're only up to 22 now. Tzamalei Yochi Amaravua Diimich. Your father of your mother. So that's part of the memory. If you look back to the memory now, it was Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chista. He's the one who's questioning now. Amar Rav Chista. He's saying it in the name of his father, who's asking the question too. And now his father is saying in the name of Rav Chanan Brei Derova. Rav Chanan Brei Derova was his father-in-law. So that's what he's saying, dear. Ma'avua Dimech, your father of your mother. And that's who Rav Chanan Bar Rava was, his father-in-law. That's in the name of Mishmei Derav, Limina, Limina, Limino, Liminehu. So if you go looking by Yikra, the term Limina is used by Etaya Limina, Vet Kolarev Limino, Vet Anetz Liminehu, and they have Anafa Limina. So those four words, limina, limina, limino, limineu, those four words are an additional four birds. They're classifying them as 24. So they have the names of the birds, and those of their species, or those that are similar to them, they classify as the another four. Well, if you do that, now you have, harikan arba, yach, yasrim bishit abu. Now you're up to 26. So amrabaye, da'a vira'a achati. So these are types of vultures. The da'a and the ra'a are one species. Now, it makes a little bit of sense here, because if you look in Vayikra, it says it da'a v'aya, and in Devarim, it calls it the ra'a and the aya, in the order of the psukim. So the ra'a and the da'ya are put on the same plant together, or the same, should be the same, and then you have the aya after them. So it makes sense that da'a and the ra'a are the one. Di sakatat tarti, you know, and if you think they're really two different types of birds, michte, mishno Torah, le'esufei hu da'ata. Mishno Torah only comes to add on something. Ma'ishna hacha dichtib da'a, ma'ishna hacha dichtib ra'a. Veloktib da'a. Why would it write over here? If it's only coming to add on, why, it should have at least the base, which is Vayikra. So why is it over here? It has the ra'a in Devarim. It doesn't have the da'a that's mentioned in Vayikra. Okay, mishno Torah can add on. It can explain. But it doesn't leave out that which is found in Vayikra. So how could it be that you have the da'a mentioned in Vayikra and it's not mentioned in Devarim? So it makes sense that the da'a and the ra'a are synonymous. Elishmamina, min ra'a v'da'a chati. V'chati, then you only get yourself down to 25. Chavhei avu. So Rabbi, kishem shira'a v'da'a chati, kach aya v'daya achati. The aya and the daya, which I've translated here as a kayo, are one. Now that is a little more problematic. The next, in Vayikra, you have the da'a and then the aya. In Dvarim, you have the ra'a, Aya and Daya. Right. It feels like that a little bit. I mean, that's a dangerous... Right. It's the same as the Nisi'im in the beginning of Bamidbar. Dang, there's a Reish and a Dalet that are switched over there. Re'uel and De'uel. They've Da'an Ra'ah. Makes a lot of sense that they'd be very close. Now, the mistake may not be a total frame. We're going to see in a second in the Gemara. The mistake might be the colloquialism, the way people pronounced it, the way people called it. And that would make a lot more sense, because then it's not the Torah's mistake. It's the way that some people call it Da, some people call it Ra'ah, and therefore the Torah had to enumerate both of them in order that there was no mistake. We're going to see that in a second in the Gemara. Now, Daya, that's in Devarim. Daya is something that's not mentioned by Yikra. It's an extra bird mentioned in Devarim that's not mentioned by Yikra at all. So now what we're suggesting here is that the Daya that's mentioned in both places and the Daya are synonymous. That's where it says, Ayyav Dayah Khati, Disakh Tate Inur Kidir too, Mikhte Mishnah Torah Sufi Udata coming to add on. Maishna Hokhadikhtiv the Mina. How come by the Ayah in Vayikra it says Vet Ayah the Mina? Whereas Umashna Hotam in Devarim it says Dikhtiv the Mina Adaya. It says Vet Ayah Vihadaya the Mina. So how come Mina is modifying Daya in Devarim and it's modifying the Ayah Vayikra? Must be that they're synonymous. Elushma Mina, Ayyav Dayah Khati, they're synonymous. Now, Daya and Daya are one. Why did the Torah write them? Daya, Daya, Kiriktanya. Rabbi Omer, Ekra ani Aya, Daya, Lama Nemra. I think it's called an Aya. Why do you have the Daya? Kadei Shlotitan Pir compare the Baldin Lachlok. So you won't have people come along and say, Shlotayata Kore Aya, Bukore Daya. He calls it the Aya, you call it Daya. Ta Kore Daya, Bukore Aya. Or you call it Daya, and he calls it Aya. Kachatav Mishnah Torah. Torah wrote both of them, Varav et Aya, Daya, Lamina. To include both of them. Meaning that there are different people called them by different names. Some people called it the Aya, some people called it the Daya. In order to prevent there being any confusion, they both say, listen, we're enumerating both of them in the Torah. And the same is true of the Ra'ah and the Da'ah, which is that some people called it the Ra'ah, some people called it a Da'ah, and therefore the Torah enumerated both of them, even though they're the same species. And again, that would make sense in terms of not being a Tot Sofrim, but people are confused. Some of them call the Ra'ah, some of them call the Da'ah, the Torah enumerates both of them as the same bird. Tosfos does ask why the Torah, when it went out of its way to write the Da'ah and the Ra'ah, why did it just write both of them? In Mishnah Torah, you have the Da'ah, in Vayikra, in Shmini, why don't you just win Re'eh? We're Re'eh, the Ra'ah and the Da'ah, you know both of them. So Tosfos says, Yishlom, at the end of time, the Mishnah Torah, Da'ah, V'ra'ah, L'rotza, L'chtov, Shneem, V'mishnah Torah, Da'afu, P'ish, Shemina, Din, Hayolo, L'chtov, Mishnah Torah, it should have written both of them, Kol Shemot, Da'at, L'chtov, Sufe, if it's coming to add, or the Frushe, then it should have said anything that's Vayikra. Then I would have thought the Da'ah and the Ra'ah were two species. Therefore, I put the Da'ah in one and Ra'ah in the other, one in Shemini and one in Re'eh, to teach me that they are synonymous and not two species. Avo Ba'ya V'daya. So then why don't we say the same thing by the Ayah and the Da'ah? If you say the Ayah and Da'ah are synonymous, then why in Mishnah Torah does it write both of them? It writes Ayah and Vayikra, then it should have just written the Da'ah in Mishnah Torah, if you keep the parallel structure that we had by the Da'ah and the Ra'ah. Tosfos' answer is that Ba'ya V'daya in Lit'ot. People don't make a mistake. Because it has the word the mina after them. Because there it says the ayah lemina in Vayikra. And then in Devarim it says hayah and the daya lemina. So the mina is a giveaway that they are synonymous because it puts the mina next to the daya in Devarim and it puts it next to the ayah in Vayikra, and that's why you can repeat it in Devarim and we won't make the mistake that they're two species but rather that they are synonymous. So that's why Devarim mentions both the ayah and the daya but does not mention the ra'ah and the da'ah. Now just to note, I'm going to just mention Tosfos over here. I actually mentioned it on Friday's daf. But Tosfos over here takes major issue with Rashi's interpretation of some of these birds here. He says, the nates, which is the hawk, perish bekontrish ashprir. Viv shalom arkein. He can't say this. Da natesu mit ofot. Venan dorsim. He says, the nates is called the mit in the ofot. And they are not dores, kid perish leo. And that's, as Tosfos explained before, that they don't have that. They don't have that siman to mind them of being dores. Kazina the shpir the doris. Then we see the shpir is dores. And then ben the perish rashi or the rabbeinu tam, that we saw that machloket about what a dores is. And therefore he says that I don't understand how Rashi can call this the shpir, how he can call it the hawk, because we know the hawk is a dores. And then how could that be the definition of the nates over here? That Tosfos takes issue with Rashi. Doesn't give an alternative, but that's the issue he takes with Rashi. But then he brings down the Nesher. And this is the one that has a lot. We spoke about, that's why I spoke about it on Friday. He said, Nesher Yeshlo Daud Simenei Tuma. He says, people call it the Igla, the eagle. Nesher is translated as an eagle, and he says that cannot be true, because the eagle has a Etzba Yitera. It does have that extra fourth finger. It has the fourth finger, the eagle, and we know that the Gemara said it has Dalet Simanei Tumah. That the eagle has every Siman Tumah, and the Etzba Yeterah, if it has it, then that's not a Siman Tumah. So how could you translate it as an eagle? So Tosus rejects that understanding. The Rebbe Tam is quoted by the Ramban, says you don't understand, it's the Kerech Igla, it's the bald eagle, or others translate it as being the Ayit, the vulture, as being more likely, and that's why it's called the bald eagle, because the vulture's head is bald, it has no feathers on the top part, so that it can insert its head into the carcasses to get out what it needs, and therefore it's called the bald eagle, but not like we think of the bald eagle, it could be that, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam is referring to, or the bald eagle, meaning the vulture, or the ayit, which is the other translation. The Ibn Ezra brings down that there were people called it the griffin, a griffin, and he calls that a mythical character, which was something that had an eagle's head and a lion's body. But there is a griffin vulture, and that's also very likely might be what the translation here of this Nesher is an ayit, or a griffin vulture. Yeah, today, a buzzard. It's like a buzzard or a vulture. So those are maybe the more common or better translations of them, although those that take issue with that as well, and say that they think the Nesher is the eagle, and the Etzba Yeterah will be defined by how you think the Etzba Yeterah is defined. Etzba Yeterah is actually a three-way machloket about what Etzba Yeterah is. Rashi says it's the etzba in the back. There's a fourth etzba behind. There's another Rashi in other places. That's Rashi in other places. And some of the other Rishonim that bring a second interpretation say the etzba yeterah means on the vertical leg. There's an extra toe on the leg above the area of the claws of the bird. There's an extra toe up above. And the other interpretation is that the Ran brings us down that the third finger is longer than the other two fingers. Those are the three different types of etzba yeterah. And so, I think it's Sichud Chulin, he brings down, he suggests that the eagle is different than the other Etzba Yeterah. Etzba Yeterah is called an Etzba Yeterah because it's not functioning like the other Etzbaot. It's not useful. It's not necessary. That's why when you have an Etzba up on the leg, it's a useless Etzba, and that's why it's called the Etzba Yeterah. Right, superfluous, it's unnecessary. So too there are birds who have three fingers, and then the fourth finger in the back is also superfluous. I mean that either it's higher on the plane with the other three fingers, or he just doesn't use it. That's not true of the eagle. The eagle has a fourth finger in their back, which it uses to be dores. It uses it to grab with, and it's functional, and it's on the same plane as the other fingers. And therefore, at least in Sichat Chulin, he wants to claim that even the eagle could qualify here. It does not have an etzba yeterah, because it's not superfluous. It's necessary. The eagle uses it to be dores and grab its prey, that fourth finger, and therefore would not be called an etzba yeterah. And that's why he pushes, that the word should be eagle, because of the other places, like when we say Al-Kanfei Nisharim, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Al-Kanfei Nisharim, and the Midrash and Chazal speak over there about the bird that flies up high, protects its young, keeps its nest very high. Those are all things that are true of an eagle, and therefore he wants to keep the translation of eagle that is used by many of the Rishonim. The Sichat Chulin suggests that. And then Tosfos also challenges Rashi's understanding of the Koreh being a koko. Says that he doesn't think that's the right translation. But just so you know that you see this machloket Rishonim about exactly what these birds are, and obviously have major nafkaminot the halacha in terms of what's a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird. Right now we go back to our Gemara, Meitavi. We have a question. Lamin Nishnu Bebehema. Why in the Mishnah Torah, why in Re'ei was there a whole repeat of the behemot that we had in Parshat Shmini? Vinei Shisua. Because the addition of the Shisua, which is early in the Gemara, is that unusual behema that has two spines and two heads. Ubaofot Bebehema Ra'ah. And in the birds, because of the ra'ah, my love, me the behema, the hotam no sufe, the susua is an additional animal. It's coming to teach you a new behema that we didn't know beforehand. Ovo nami no sufe, that would suggest that the ra'ah here is also coming to teach us a new bird that we didn't know about before. And that would undermine what we just said. We just said that the da'ah and the ra'ah were synonymous. So over here, if you say that it's an additional bird, then that would be against what we just concluded. No, by the behemot is coming to add. And over here, it's coming to explain. Upligi the Rabbi Abo, and this argues in Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Abo does not agree with our Gemara over here about the 24 birds that are tameot. Because, Dama Rabbi Abo, ra'ah, zu ayah. The ra'ah is equivalent to the ayah. V'lamni kresh ma ra'ah, shu'e biyoter. Because it sees afar, it sees very far away. Chenu omer, Nativ lo yida'o ayit, the root that has not known to the buzzard, or the ayit of the vulture over here, veloshis zafatu ein ayah, and it was not seen by the eye of the vulture. So there we see the vulture has great eyes. It's able to see its prey or to see its food very far away. And that's what the Gemara says here. Tano medet bebavel. The bird can be in Bavel, roe nevela be'eretz Yisrael, can see a carcass in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you have a little star there, it says guzmak tani. The Mesos HaShas says it's an exaggeration, of course. But it's true that they have very keen eyesight and they're able to see very far away. It's both true of an eagle, as well as the vulture, they're able to see their prey or their carcasses that they're looking for from very far away. So Gemara says, midra'a hainu ayah. If now, according to Rabbi Bel, the ra'a is ayah, michlal de da'a, lav hainu ra'a. Then it means that the da'a and the ra'a are not synonymous. Michtei, Mishnah Torah sufeyu. Mishnah Torah only comes to add things. It doesn't come to eliminate anything. Da'ata, maishnah hocha dichtib da'a. Why in Vayikra is the da'a mentioned? And why is it not mentioned in Mishnah Torah? Lav shmina, da'a v'ra'a v'aya achati. Means that they're all synonymous. Da'ya, ra'a, and aya are all one. Umi d'ra'a hainu aya, mechlal de da'ya, lav hainu aya. Well, if you're telling me that the ra'a is the aya, that sounds like the da'ya, which is the last one of the birds mentioned here, is not the aya. That's what the Gemara before it suggested. Ma'ishna hotam. Dichtiv liminehu. Why, or it's really not, it's lemina. Why in Vayikra does it say that aya lemina? Ayah. In Devarim it says, Loktiv, Limina. Why doesn't it say Miniyah by the Ayah? It only says Mina by Daya. Ayah, Ela Daya, El Shma Mina, Da'a, Vira'a, Daya, Vaya, Chati. They're all one. They're all synonymous. The Da'a, Ra'a, Daya, and Ayah, all four of those birds are a single bird. They're all synonymous with each other. And the reason, obviously, the differentiation in the terms is because people call them different things. And so, in order for the Torah to be clear, it wanted to get all the different names down. He can't hold. That's the Gemara says. Bo argues that he can't be the 24 birds. He can't have the 24. That's the conclusion here. The Sakadatcha, the Havamina was that he did have 24. And there the Gemara didn't want to connect all of them. In the end, the Gemara's conclusion is that he doesn't hold a Rav, he doesn't hold that there are 24 birds there to Eretz Yisrael. Even though that's what the Gemara started with. Upligi de Rabbi Abo. We know that Rabbi Abo argues on this position, and he argues entirely on that position of the 24 birds. What's interesting is the Targum. When it comes to the Targum of these birds, when it comes to the Ra'a, Ayah, Daya, the Targum Yonatan seems to be following the Gemara, and he calls them all Daita. He calls them all a Daita. Daita Chivara, Daita Uchmata, Daita Lizna. He calls them all in the subcategories of Daita. The Unkulis has different terms for each one of them, which is also interesting. But at least the Targum Yonatan seems to be following the Gemara and gives them all the same translation of being a Daita. Or those subspecies of Daita. He gives some of them white, some of them black, but he still calls them all Daita, which would indicate that they're all the similar ilk. Or a similar species, which would be much along the lines of the Gemara, both Rabbi Bo and the earlier Gemara that we saw. Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Me'ofot Me'im Yesh B'Mizrach. There are 100 types or species of birds in the east that are Tme'im. V'chulan min Ayahein. And they're all subspecies of the Ayah. Tani, Avimi Berei de Rabbi Bo'a, Zayin Me'ot Minei Dagimein. There are 700 species of, or types of fish, that are tmeim, that are problematic. Mechet meoneot minei chagavim. And 800 types of chagavim, locusts, grasshoppers. Ulo ofot en mispar. And to the ofot, there's no enumeration. Right, so now let's just work with the understanding. Who cares? What does this mean? So Tosafot says, I'll tell you what it means, and this is an unbelievable statement. He says, well, Isavit Buddha tells you that there are 100 types of birds that are tmeot. And there are all types of ayah. There's also 700 types of fish. So you know what Tosafot says? He says, if you can identify 700 fish that are tmeim, species of fish, then you know whatever else you find is kasher. If you have the 700 species that are tmeyot, then you can, tmei, you can go and eat the other fish. Ah, you don't see it. It doesn't have scales on it right now. Oh, maybe it drops them when it leaves the water. Maybe they grow in later. And you don't know it. But now you know because you know that they're the 700 and you've locked those out. Once you've locked those out, you're fine. Same thing with the ofot. You know those 100 that are tmeyot? You can eat everything else because the others are not dores. So that's why these numbers are important. And also by the chagavim. 800 chagavim. If you know all those 800, then the others are torim. It's a very funny Tosafot. I mean, if anybody knows all these species, but it's pretty interesting. But now his question comes up with the next part. So that's the last statement in the Braita, which is ofot en mispar. For the ofot, there is no enumeration. The Avni and the Gemara that's talking about Tmeim, ofot, kafdalet havu. They're only 24. You see by the Gemara's question that they're only 24, that they thought when it says ofot en mispar, is referring to ofot tmeot. Now this is very problematic for Tosfot. Rashi and Tosfot argue about when it says there are 24 ofot tmeim. Look at Rashi and Tosfot, what it means that there are 24 birds that are tmeim. According to Rashi, 23 of those birds that are tmeim are the only tamei. They are, that bird itself is tameh, nothing more. 24th bird is the nesher. And anything that has four simanei tumah is a subcategory of the nesher. So the only thing in those 24 birds that has other birds that are included in its category is the nesher. The nesher has some species or some categories of things that are like it. Everything else are an exception to the rule, and those are the only birds that are tameim. Tosafot disagrees and says, no, the 24 birds here are roshei, they're the heads of their categories. They are paradigms for that species and that type of bird. Anything that's similar to it will be problematic. So according to Tosafot, there are hundreds of birds that are tameot. They're just all under the categories of these 24 birds. According to Rashi, there are literally only 24 birds. There are 23 plus the nesher, anything like the nesher, but that's all subspecies of the nesher. So really only 24 birds. The question of the Gemara here reads very much like Rashi. The Gemara says, the ofot ain't mispar. There's no enumeration to the ofot. Ofot chaftal rabu. There are only 24. What do you mean there are only 24? Rashi, according to Rashi, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, there are only 24 birds that are tameim. Whereas according to the Tosafot, he doesn't, they said these are 24 categories, but there are many other birds that are tameim. So Tosafot here has to read the Gemara in a way that makes sense. And that's what he says over here. He said before, oh, if I know all the birds that are, if I knew all the birds that are tameim, if I knew all the fish that were tameim, then I could eat the torim. So he thinks that the Gemara is continuing with that flow, the bright is continuing with that flow, which is, if I knew the 24 bird, the Gemara is saying, oh, what do you mean there's no mispar? I have the 24 categories. So if I know those 24 categories, then I know which birds are tahor. So that's what Tosafot said. The question is not that there are only 24 birds, it's that there are 24 categories, and I can eliminate them based, if I knew those 24 categories, then I can eliminate it like I did in the previous part of the bright. So the answer of the Gemara is Ela Olafot Torim in Mispar. There's no enumeration of the Olafot Torim, and that was the question of the Gemara over here. The question of the Gemara says that we, and that's the continuation here in a second, which is that the Torah enumerated that which was less. The Torah enumerated the Olafot Tmeot because they are less. It did not enumerate the Beimot Tmeot because they are more numerous in number. And that's the answer here, that the Ein Mispar goes on the Olafot Torot and does not follow the rest of the Braita that's talking about Tmeim, but rather the Torot. And that's the difference between the birds and the others, which is by the birds, the Torot are larger in number, whereas by the others, it's the Tmeot that are larger in number, and therefore the Torah only defined for us the Torot. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Galui b'yadua lifnei mishamar v'haya ulam, Kodesh Baruch Hu knows, v'haya ulam, shebehemat tmeya merubah min haTorah, that there are more non-kosher animals than kosher animals. V'ikach mana kadu b'Torah. That's why the Torah went out of its way to enumerate the kosher animals. Galui b'yadua lifnei mishamar v'haya ulam, shofot torim merubim al tmeim. That there are more kosher birds than non-kosher birds. V'ikach mana kadu b'tmeim. Therefore we have the list of the problematic birds over here. Ma'ika mashmalan. It's the big deal. Okay. Very good. Of course. Why wouldn't the Torah do that? I mean, it makes a lot of sense to do that. So, Kadaravuna Amarav, Amrilam Ravuna Amarav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Lola Mishne Adam, Letamido, Derech Tzara. It's come to teach us this principle that you should always teach in the simplest and shortest fashion. So over here, you teach the ones that are Tameyot, because that way you, when you know what's Tamei, you have the lower, smaller list. If you know what's Tahor by the Beimot, you know that are the smaller amounts, it makes a lot of sense. Samarav Yitzchak. Of tohor nechal b'misoret. This is what you were asking, Meshul. Of tohor is only eaten with the misoret. Neman atzayad domar, a hunter is allowed to say, of zeh tohor, masar li rabbi. This bird that I captured, I have a misoret from my rebbe that it's tohor, and you can be somech on him. If he's an ish neman, you can be somech on him, and you can eat the bird based on his statement. He has to be an expert in them and their names. I mean, he needs to know all the birds in order for that to be true. So, by Rabbi Zeir, Rabo Chacham or Rabo Tzayit. He says that he saw from his Rebbe, which Rebbe does this mean? Does it mean that his hunter Rebbe? Or does this mean his rabbi Rebbe? Which one does it mean? So, Itashmat, Rabbi Yochanan, who should baki behem ishmotehem? He has even baki in these birds and their names. Iyamar Bishlamo, Rabo Tzayit. If he's talking about his hunter Rebbe, then Shapir. It makes sense that he knows their names and the types of the birds. Iyamar Rabo Chacham, he's talking about the Tamar Chacham, Bishlamo, Shmaeu, Gamir, Luhu. He knows their names because he learns Gemara, he learns Torah Shabbat Pei. He knows their names. Ela inu mi odoluhu. He doesn't know how to identify them. That was the Gemara that we said before. Is Moshe Rabbeinu a hunter? Is Moshe Rabbeinu an archer that he knows all the birds and can make statements about birds? Yes, he has the Torah Shabbat. Yes, he has the Mesorah, but that doesn't mean that he knew all the birds. He could identify. He didn't meet all these birds. He wasn't a hunter. So over here, Elo Hashmina Rabot Tzayit Shlamina. It's his Rebbe, the hunter Rebbe, They taught him that this bird is kosher, and he has a mesorah about the bird being kosher, and since there's an ish ne'aman, an ish kosher, you can rely on him, this hunter, to tell you that this bird is kosher, and I have a mesorah as such. Okay, we'll stop over here.